What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Video Game Bang, powered by Energy Esports, sponsored by Oblivion Comics and Coffee. Come for the comics, stay for the coffee. And the new sponsor of Curtis's new Comics Corner. Tune in on Wednesday nights on the CW
for
that.
I was wondering if you were going to plug. I know it's been a long time since you've hosted. I honestly forgot that like 30 minutes we had established that you were going to host, so I almost jumped in.
I almost didn't.
I'm so glad you remembered.
I'm in the middle of my Instagram story post. I was like, oh, that's me. What's going on, everybody?
Well, you did a great job. You got right in there, and you remembered Curtis's Comic Corner.
Yeah, I did.
That's the man.
Yeah.
I also remember that we're sponsored by Mainframe USA.
Yes.
And VastGG. Go check them out. They got lots of good giveaways going on. VastGG everywhere. Instagram, Twitter, Discord. Come hang out in the Discord. It's gonna be cool. We're doing some good stuff in there.
Is it popping?
It's popping. It's gonna be more popping.
Is it as popping as the VGB Discord? Because that gets pretty lit.
It is like if the VGB Discord. I don't know. I was gonna go with that. Yeah, it's popping. There's gonna be some popcorn metaphor in there. I don't know. We got a great show lined up for you guys tonight. First, let me introduce the cast. We got the one and only Mr. Energy himself. Corey Vincent.
Hey, what is going on, pizzas? I'm so happy to be here on the guest seat. It's I've always wanted to be on the show.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Yeah, exactly. thanks for having me, guys. Thanks for having me.
You know what? Anytime. I mean, it's your house. So
what do you guys think, crowd?
Hey! We'll have him back sometime.
Thank you. I still control the soundboard, by the way, so I'm just listening.
Oh, that's abundantly clear. Curtis is in the house.
I am in the house, as opposed to being outside the house, which would be a little more difficult, technically, to do the show outside
the
house.
We got long mic cords.
That one time we had chicken pox, we had to get
creative. That's right. That was measles, but we don't talk about that.
There's an anti-vax joke in there somewhere.
Topical.
Back after a long hiatus. Mr. Capital Fight District himself, Jay, is in the house. Welcome back,
Jason
Jay.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
Good to have you back.
Hang out.
Jay. Hey, got a crowd response.
Hey, good job, man.
How have you been, Jay?
Doing really well.
Yeah?
Super busy. A lot of stuff going on in the Sacramento area.
Word. So, you used to doing stuff with Esports Arena, right?
Yeah, I was running the Wednesday night fights there out of the new Esports Arena Roseville location, nice. Which is inside of Walmart.
Let's start there.
Because we did an episode where I talked about that, and like the next day, Jay messaged me. He goes, "That place is really cool." I go, "No, I'm sure it is. It's just weird. It's in Walmart."
It is weird. That's in Walmart, and you are constantly reminded every 5 minutes when someone walks by, and they're just like, "What's that?"
What do you think the response is? Like, okay, you have events there, but what's it just doing for the rest of the day?
For the rest of the day, mostly throughout the week, it's opened up just for gameplay. So they usually charge $5 an hour, and you can come and play any game that's installed on a computer, or there's also PS4 Pros and Xbox One X's.
That's the play, right? That's what they're banking on. The events are great. That'll bring extra attention and things.
But they're banking on that.
I think the reason Walmart decided to do it, was to make that $5 because their kid can't stop playing Fortnite, you know, and the mom just wants to shop peacefully and ship her kids over there.
That's one of the things. Another reason why they're doing that at a bunch of other locations, there is Esports Arena. They have their own computers that they're trying to sell called Overpowered. So whenever you go there, you see their insignia for Overpowered on every single PC.
Okay.
That way, you know, they're sold on the Walmart website. And on top of that, since HyperX is a big sponsor for the Esports Arena, there's HyperX keyboards and mice.
Oh, it's all product placement.
It's all product placement,
Makes sense.
Can you, for like the tournaments you hold, can people bring their own peripherals?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So we had a really fun Overwatch pickup game tournament last Saturday, and a lot of the higher end players, the Plats and the GMs, they brought their own peripherals.
Oh, okay.
I want to see like a tournament hosted there, and like they're in the middle of like this big like fight, and all of a sudden you hear, Can I get a price check on a six pack of Top Ramen? Lane 3, thank you.
It definitely is Walmart.
I can't believe it. You know, all this stuff you were describing, the heat of the competition and stuff, and then you're just always in a Walmart. It's so crazy. That's so genius. Is it working, do you think? Like, are there a lot of, like, just when you go there to shop and you look over, is there usually at least one person in there?
I think on the weekdays it might be a little slow, but I've only done things on the weekend and Wednesday night, and usually if you go on the weekend, it's a lot busier there.
Okay.
Also on Thursdays they do Smash tournaments, and there's at least 60 kids inside that little area.
Nice.
That's cool. I mean, I'm about it. That's sign of the times right there. If you want to talk about a sign of the times, having a fucking esports arena in a Walmart. Yeah.
2019 for you, baby.
2019. I'm here
still
for it.
Still have flying cars, but we got esports in Walmart.
Not quite Blade Runner, but esports is in Walmart. Priorities, people. Priorities. Yeah. Esports first. Flying cars, we'll figure it out later.
Oh, exactly. Man. So we got some music buffs in here. Yes. So I had a big day yesterday. I got my own record player.
Oh,
congratulations!
Nice.
So pretty stoked about that.
You are a man of great taste.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I have two records.
Okay.
They were both my dad's, and they're back when that records were what was used to listen to music.
So one of them's Fleetwood Mac.
No, it's Frampton Comes Alive.
No, there's a I swear to God, I have a Frampton Comes Alive right there.
I guarantee you have a Frampton Comes Alive.
All you need is a Frank Zappa.
Carry on. I'll be right back, guys.
So it's the original Star Wars score.
Ooh.
Nice.
Which is super cool. Yeah, John Williams. Mm. Yeah. And then I have The Hobbit, like the audio version of The Hobbit, the book, and it came with like this picture thing where you follow along with the story, which I haven't broken that out yet. But the first thing I did was I popped on Star Wars, and I just I did a little Instagram story.
I got it!
There it is.
I knew it. Everybody that has a record player has Frampton Comes Alive.
This is a rite of passage.
All right, so I gotta go find one.
Yeah, you can't do it until, and then you gotta just only listen to Do You Feel Like We Do. It's the only track you care about on this thing. And make sure you know that he was actually talking through his guitar.
Because that matters.
That's what matters.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'll have to.
I'll have to. You said that there's a record store in Sacramento that does 50%.
Oh, beautiful place. Yeah. Well, old Sacramento. There's a record place on Thursdays. It's buy one, get one free, or they do half off or something.
Is it
crazy.
Downstairs?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I've been there.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I've been there.
So, did you listen to both your records? What did you do? Did you sip a fine whiskey? Or did you just sit there and stare at it, just watch it go in circles?
I just kind of sat there and stared at it,
watching it. That's what you do.
And,
for the first little bit. Nice.
And then today I popped it on as I was doing some work and just listened to the first few songs of the Star Wars soundtrack.
That's awesome.
It's pretty epic to work to.
Yeah.
This intergalactic anthemic music.
It may have been some of the best work I've done. That's why the Vast GG Discord is so popping right now.
I mean, once the Empire marches on,
yeah.
I'd start baiting people.
See, when we were, when I fixed the Zune that I have, and I talked about it maybe a little bit on the podcast,
just a little bit.
These were my original files.
Yeah.
You know, and it was something nostalgic about hearing my files from 8 years ago that still skipped in the same spot.
Yeah.
So it's kind of that same thing of this stupid MP3 means something. So listening to the original Star Wars track of an original print over a record player through speakers, it's like history.
Yeah.
You get to hear this it goes beyond just the content.
It's true.
Speaking of your Zune, I found the equivalent for me, which was, I guess it'd be the most similar thing would be my iPod video. When they first came out with that.
That's
basically, it's basically like a hard drive with a screen on it.
Yeah.
And a click wheel. It's thick.
Was it the click wheel that actually rotated? No, because they didn't do that one. That one was already gone by then. This was the the static.
It did the...
Yeah, making that sound.
Did it have haptic?
No, it didn't have haptic, but the speaker is—it's like so enclosed that it you would feel it.
Yeah, you would feel the speaker doing it through the enclosure.
Way ahead of its time.
Way ahead of its time. Yeah, someone did that. They go, "What if this was part of it and not just an accident of design?"
10 years later.
10 years later, haptic feedback. Yeah. Hey, Steph is in here.
Hey, how's it going, Steph?
What's going on? So we are Saturdays. We're doing a different thing where we don't do news because we bring that to you on Wednesdays. But instead, we do games, TED Talks, whatever it may be. Today is a combination. We're pioneering even further, and we're gonna go with a discussion on best consoles that we've had and worst consoles that we've had.
I like it.
And the, that we've actually owned, not necessarily in our opinion, the best and the worst or whatever.
This is a tough one because no matter what you say, someone's going to get offended because it was like their childhood thing. All consoles are beautiful. We can start by saying that. There's no loser.
Nope.
Except for one.
I think I know which one that is. We had a discussion before the show. I won't say mine yet because I want somebody else to go first. But the way I'm approaching it, you guys can talk about how you approached it. I went from it from a, because I don't think I really had a bad console per se. Mm-hmm. So I came at it from like, okay, which one did I have like the least amount of memories on? And which one did I have like the best amount of memories on?
That's a good
okay,
way to go.
Yeah, that's
so that's
really
how
good.
That's how I'm approaching it. So cool. Who wants to go first with their consoles?
What are we going to see? I got to get used to who's like running the show here. Emma has a very strict, everybody takes their turn.
That's right. I'm going first. Boom. All right. There we go.
Boom.
Stepping
Curtis,
up.
There it is.
And I'm leading off with the worst. So, and I think this is a pretty good one to start with. I am very curious about how many people actually had this console because it did not sell a lot and it did not sell a lot for a reason. And what I think part of what made it the worst console I ever owned is because I was so excited for this. I had just gotten into Star Fox and that was so fun. And also on this console, I felt that one missed mark that sucks about it too is that, that sucks that it failed and it was so terrible is that it had a new controller type for this line of consoles that I hadn't seen before, and it was actually pretty comfortable. But lo and behold, the Virtual Boy was the worst console I had ever owned.
I never owned it, but I rented it from a Blockbuster.
Oh, no way.
I remember that, yeah. Yeah, right. You get in that briefcase.
You get the big briefcase, yeah.
Yep.
Open it up. Out.
But I'm totally with you on that. That is probably one of the worst consoles I've ever played.
Easy.
It's backbreaking. Like, the way the goggles and the stand was there, and you had to
lean over.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Although that sounds awful.
Yeah. Although it was great because it brought us Wario, right? Because that's where Wario came from?
I think that might have been
the...
I don't know. Was it the first one?
I think it was. I think I read that,
Or his first appearance.
Maybe his first appearance.
Yeah, we'll fact check that. But I think you're right. I know it was early on when Wario just came in, and it might have... It's either his first appearance or his first game. But... It was, same thing. I would lean over it. Like, not only that, if it was kind of warm in the room, like, you'd start sweating, and then that would get all over, like, the plastic part, and that felt gross. You had to wipe your forehead and go back
like
in.
Oh, so it's like when we play Beat Saber. We had to get paper towels and stick them underneath the Virtual Boy. So Virtual Boy was the all red one, right?
It was all red. And that was the other thing. It was an eyesore. So you had to watch these red lines the entire time. So I don't know, like, they tell you take breaks like 30 minutes into gaming now. Like,
couldn't
I swear,
last 5 minutes.
You couldn't.
No.
No. Oh. Like, you play a little bit. I had the tennis game. I think that was the pack-in game that came with it. It was like Mario Tennis or whatever, or Mario Virtual Tennis.
And then there was like a big robot boxing one.
Yeah.
That you only press buttons for the fists. So it's kind of like ARMS. It was like the first version of ARMS.
Okay.
OG ARMS.
Yeah.
Dang. What if it was? What if when they came out with ARMS, they're like, hey, you guys remember that robot game on Virtual Boy?
No, because no one played. Well, anyway, let's make, you know, like no one remembers it, but that was easily probably it was definitely my worst console. Now, at the time, when I was a kid, like, at first, I was just stoked to have it because it looked so cool, and it, like, it came on those legs, and it was all futuristic, and I don't know, Terminator 2 came out not that long ago, so I was like, oh, man, this is futuristic. Yeah. Like, I felt, that thing just let me down so much, and then no games came out for it. I guess it was a nightmare to program for, It and then yeah, and it sold terribly. So I'm starting us off strong, y'all. Virtual Boy, who's following up? Who can top that?
So since we went through one of the worst, mm-hmm. maybe let's go through one of the best.
Yeah, what's your best?
Okay,
one?
So best console. This one's a dead giveaway. Nintendo Switch.
That's good. Switch. That's
so good far, it has not let me down.
No. Like, yeah. It just has not disappointed me in any single way. The types of games, the amount of games, how easy it is to take around, how portable it is. Mm-hmm. I love the, just literally sliding the Joy-Cons mm-hmm. off and sliding them back on. It's so satisfying. Like, it's awesome. And I don't know, and I like all the ports that they're bringing over for it. So even older games that you haven't played for a while, where it's like, oh damn, I gotta find my PlayStation 3 or I gotta do this. It's like, oh, you guys are bringing over Final Fantasy 9, yeah. Resident Evil 4. Like, bro, I have all the Street Fighter games that I care about, minus the first EX game. I have them all in one game. It's incredible.
What's also great about the console is that it came out swinging with Breath of the Wild.
Heck yeah.
Oh, like, yeah.
Best games ever, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It came out swinging hard. So, yeah, I'm loving the Switch. Yeah. There's just nothing bad, really. That, I mean, I know people complain about the battery life and whatnot. I mean, honestly, I don't know. Like,
I've never had a problem with the battery life.
That's what I'm saying.
It's all right. And they make, like, you can use a phone battery thing that you already have.
Like a battery charger.
In chat, Steph is saying that they want a Switch, but everything is sold separate, so they haven't been able to put in the effort. It is kind of an intimidating buy, but it's all in the box that you need to get started.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was the other thing, because I felt kind of like Steph did. I started looking at it, and I was looking at the accessories. Because, yeah, I just came from buying a Wii. I was like, I'm going to have to beef this thing up to even, like, kind of enjoy it. But, no, Steph, you'd be surprised. Like, right out the box, I didn't feel like I was lacking anything, but I was super stoked about adding everything that I did. It was awesome.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
Let's keep going around the table. Corey.
So, my least favorite?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
It's tough because, like, every console I got, like, as a child, mm-hmm. I wasn't paying attention to whether things were good or bad back then. Like,
when you were talking
about the Virtual Boy, that came out right in the sweet spot where I was completely ignorant to anything video games, so it wasn't even on my radar to be something to be disappointed in.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, and all those games just have a special place. So I think I have to go more recent.
Cool.
Into my most jaded period of life, you know?
Oh, boy.
So
something's going to get it pretty bad.
Yeah, I think it was the Wii U.
The Wii U. Sense.
Okay.
Super disappointment.
I was like, kind of, the podcast, I think, was at least a thought, or, you know, like,
no, it was around.
Yeah.
I remember it being around.
Yeah. Because we covered it when it launched.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. So I was already a podcaster, and now I'm looking at things critically, and I'm looking for things to not like.
Yeah.
And it just didn't have the games that interested me. I think that, like, Nintendo typically does a pretty good job bringing new life into their stuff, but it seemed like the times they didn't was all right in there.
What is the game that launched with it anyway? Was it just the Super Mario's Bros.
It was like
Wii U?
Zombie U or something like that. Zombie, like, U. I don't even know what it is.
And I think
that's
the Mario game
first strike.
It was the Super Mario Bros. Game, like just the remake side scroller, possibly.
Okay. They just relaunch it.
I mean, a lot of the titles are forgettable, but I mean, there's really only three decent titles, and mm-hmm. you know, one's of course Smash Bros.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Second one's Mario Kart.
Yeah.
And the third one is one that I liked a lot, actually, is mm-hmm. Captain Toad Treasure Tracker.
Oh shoot! Okay.
That was like a hidden gem. Really? I don't know if nobody was talking about it, and then me, I was playing. I was like, wow, this game is really fun. Puzzles are hard.
Nice.
It's you can be creative too. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I never owned the Wii U. I had the Wii. Mm-hmm. I just never upgraded because I'd play at other people's house. But when I first saw it, it looked like what we have now in the Switch.
Yeah.
Or like that was the idea that they were going for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where you could just take it with you and you can keep playing it.
Yep.
But I feel like it kind of you could, but there were strict limitations.
Oh, heck. Very strict
like
limitations.
Like you had to be in the same room or something.
Oh,
as,
dude,
like,
yeah.
Actual...
You couldn't. I don't think you could be further than like 9 feet for that thing. Was like, please go back further.
What?
Like, whatever. Like,
that's
it had
awful.
To use Bluetooth, and that Bluetooth connection Ooh. Was not very far.
I think that whole technology 2.0? Kind of failed, though, like across the board, because Wii U isn't highly regarded as one of the best Nintendo systems. Like,
oh, no. It's definitely one of the worst. I think it's worse than GameCube, easily. easily.
I had more fun with GameCube games, but I was in that frame of mind back then. I don't know. I was a little more older, but that's the thing with that technology of like having a screen in your lap being super beneficial, because Microsoft tried to fight that with their Microsoft Glass or whatever, where you download an app and certain games you could mount your cell phone to the top of your controller and have like a little experience.
Yeah, okay. I remember that. Okay.
Sometimes you could manage your inventory and stuff like that. That was so when I saw that technology came out, I didn't think it was very practical anyways, but I figured I already have a tablet. Right. And I already have the Xbox, so why do I need, you know...
Two separate
proprietary
things.
Right, and this thing has another purpose. The Wii... iPad. What is that thing called?
WiiPad?
Dang it.
It's called a tablet, WiiPad? I guess.
Yeah, I used to remember what it was called.
We don't even know. We don't even know what it was called. It was just a big fucking lap controller thing.
So. Yeah, and what sucks is that, like... That was... After the Wii came out and sold all these units and had all these fun games and all this stuff, that's what they followed up with. And it really did feel... it felt like a corporate move, right? Like, okay, people are liking the Wii. We have to follow up with something. They obviously have the idea for what the... What was it called? The NX or whatever?
Yeah.
They obviously had the idea for that. And I think they knew it was a little bit farther out, but they just wanted to ride the cash wave of the Wii. And
They just put it punted. Out.
They punted.
It was like a half step, like what the Xbox One X or the PS4 Pro is, right?
Yeah. It was a half step. Or like the Punisher would say, it was a half measure red.
All right. So that's your worst. What are you going to say for your best?
I think for my best, I don't know. I went like full nostalgia factor, what I had the most fun with, where I probably logged the most hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I have to go with the PlayStation 1.
Ooh.
That's a strong console.
I think I'm changing up. Because originally I was thinking Xbox 360 because of the Halo days.
Yeah.
I put a lot of time into Halo.
Yeah.
I was a high school kid and I had more going on. Back in those formative years when I was really playing and just getting lost in stuff, it was the PlayStation.
Best launch demo disc as well.
Oh, easy. Hands down. Yeah. Oh, gosh.
ESPN X Games.
Oh
yeah,
yep.
Had,
Cool Borders.
Cool Borders, like Battle that. Arena Toshinden.
Oh yeah, I know.
Yeah. So much
back
good
in the day,
stuff.
Demo discs.
The demo disc that I had that I loved had Jet Moto on it.
Yeah.
And Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
And I think Tony Hawk and and Tekken for sure.
Ooh,
Tekken 2.
Jet Moto is such a great game,
dude.
Oh Jet Moto was sick.
I wish they find a way to bring that back.
And then for me, I throw so much time into Twisted Metal.
Oh my gosh, Twisted Metal was so fun.
Yeah, I had so much time on that.
Metal Gear Solid.
Resident Evil.
Yep, read the Resident Evils 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
And then
Final Fantasy 7.
Other end of me that had that was like a geeky kid who liked wrestling, they had some of the best wrestling games on there too.
Remind me of the wrestling games that they had, because I was really, really into the NWO on Nintendo 64.
Yeah.
So what wrestling games did they have?
They had, I think it was Raw.
Okay.
Raw is War. Okay. And then they had, that's when the SmackDown series started coming out.
Oh, I think you're right.
Yeah. Because I never had a PlayStation 2, ironically. That's where I got cut off. My buddy had a PlayStation 2. I don't know why the next one I ended up getting was an Xbox. Hmm. I don't think I was piloting those decisions back then.
Just what you got.
Yeah, just what we ended up having. But definitely the PlayStation for me was that perfect era of nostalgia. Oh, and this came out in a Ninja tweet yesterday.
Uh-huh.
He expressed, he said, I would pay $250,000 for an HD remake of Legend of Legaia.
For $250,000, couldn't you make that?
That's a Starbucks money.
That's what I'm saying. I know, really. Yeah. It's crazy that he actually has the money to do that.
I've always been whatever about Ninja. I respect everything he's built, but I'm just not a fan.
Yeah.
At that point, I was like, okay, homeboy knows what's up. Legend of the guy was a deep cut. It was I don't even know how I ended up with that game.
Yeah.
It's not a turn-based JRPG style game, was not in my vocabulary, but it was a demo disc, actually.
There you go.
It was on the demo disc, and it had a really thing. So I played the first level a bunch of times.
Mm-hmm.
Finally got to the point where I was like, can I get this game? Yeah. I got it, and then obsessed with it.
So dope.
Nice.
That's a really good pick, dude. That literally, PS1 was a game changer.
Oh, yeah.
Everything was discs after that, pretty much, except for Nintendo, but everybody else,
Nintendo held strong. Well, actually, Oh, GameCube had discs, huh?
Yeah, it was. It wasn't until. Well, yeah, it was those little mini discs.
Yeah, the little mini. Yeah.
Yeah, I was remember with my my PlayStation. I didn't have a memory card, mm-hmm. and there was a game out called XCOM UFO Defense.
Okay.
Which is, you know, the newer games. Mm-hmm. Was one of my favorite games because you would build all of your characters, you give them names,
yeah.
and then you go out on missions and everything. Tight. But I'd have to leave my PlayStation running. I left it running for 4 months straight.
Until I could get a
memory. Because you couldn't save. You couldn't save.
You didn't have the 8 megabyte memory.
Yeah. 8 megabytes.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh, how Yikes. Crazy.
Cool. All right, Jay, you're up.
All right, so for me, I'm thinking about all of the consoles that I owned, mm-hmm. and the one that I had the least fun with probably was the Sega Master System.
Okay.
Wow.
So
really?
Yeah, so
yeah,
I mean,
that's true.
This came out around the same time as the Nintendo.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It had, you know, some of its own titles like what's his name?
Altered Beast.
Altered Beast did come out on that. Mm-hmm. Kid Cool.
Okay, right.
Probably one the only fun game that came out, and it was River City Ransom. But that was also on the NES as well.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
So I mean,
still a good game.
Yeah. I don't remember how I got it.
Yeah.
But I had it, and I had about 10 or 12 games to play on it, and
I'm surprised that many games came out.
I know, and it just, you know, it just wasn't as fun because I had my Nintendo,
yeah.
and it was easy pass.
Nintendo yeah. definitely better than the Sega Master System. That's funny because, like, I remember when I moved up here was the first time, I guess that I spent a lot of time around one because only a few friends had it. The Master System wasn't very popular over here. But yeah. again, my aunt, the one that played Snoop Dogg Doggy Style for us when we were on our way to school, they had one. And I just thought it was so weird. Like, I'd pop it open and it had the little plastic cards to put in there. It was very odd. But then she got like the official Sega Genesis, and then I was like, okay, see this feels like where it's supposed to be. But yeah, it was just weird, like, going in her room and I was like, what are these white boxes with all these blue lines?
Yeah,
on
yeah.
it? Like, where are these games?
Yeah, I mean, the packaging was boring.
Yeah,
it wasn't even marketed towards us at all, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think so. But they figured it out later.
I had no experience with that thing. I was Googling it fervently over here.
Yeah.
Just to
myself
what games were on.
Yeah, I mean, it came out before the Sega Genesis. It was Sega's answer to the Nintendo.
Yeah.
Entertainment okay. System.
Yeah.
Okay. So best.
Best. Console. I'm kind of going to go the same route that Corey went.
Yeah. Okay. Nice.
But we're going PlayStation 2.
Hey.
Okay. That was my first PlayStation.
Oh man, I love that thing.
I would say hands down, that's probably one of the best systems out there. Yep. It had so many great games,
yep.
so many titles, like even starting of Team Ico.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you got Shadow of the Colossus. I mean, dude. As a console exclusive, Metal Gear Solid 2, Sons of Liberty. Oh, so great. And it was also the console that all my friends had, too.
Yeah.
That's the biggest
one.
Yeah.
Was that when they went with that the Spider-Man font marketing? Or was that PlayStation 3?
That was PlayStation 3.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. yeah.
Now, I'll say this, though. The other big thing that was a game changer about the PS2, it was a DVD player.
Oh, it was your DVD and CD player.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember being up there and putting music on and watching, like, the little medium.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah. You could do that in a PlayStation. I mean, a regular Sony, though, right?
The PS1, I think you could
play
CDs on, but the graphics were a lot cooler
than
the PS2.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So it was just...
And
just
what was great
so cool.
about the PS2, mm-hmm. you could play PS1 games.
Dude, the backwards compatibility.
Backwards compatibility.
Oh, my God.
And it also upscaled it somehow too.
Yeah, dude, that was so crazy. Yeah. I played so much because I remember my aunt, she introduced me to Resident Evil, and then Resident Evil 1 Director's Cut came out, but I didn't get it when I had the opportunity to, but I got a PS2, and that I think it was for my birthday, me and Webb's birthday is right next to Christmas. So it was dope because I got the Director's Cut on my birthday, and then 2 days later on Christmas, I got the PS2, and I was like, I see what you did, Mom. giving me a game that I'd have to pop in my PS1, and then 2 days later, I open up the PS2.
Yep.
See what you did. Yeah. So
yeah.
That's good. That's a good call, man.
What's crazy, too, talking about, you know, it being able to play PS1 on it. Mm-hmm. Back then, like, we didn't even think about, like, that being like, oh, wow, look at this. Like, no. It was just, why wouldn't you be able
to? Yeah, it just made sense.
It just made sense. And now we're like, guys, it's backwards compatible.
And it's like, well, it was, like, a big thing with the PlayStation 3s. Because, some models were held and had more value because they had the backwards compatibility chip or whatever.
The first ones that released had the backwards compatibility.
And then for whatever reason, they got rid of that functionality. So, like,
probably cheaper to produce the consoles, I bet, without it. And then, obviously, then you force people to buy newer games for your new console.
That's when they go, wait a minute. Yeah. Don't let them play old games. Mm-hmm. They have to buy new games.
And it's never been the same since. Nope. Yeah. We'll never get that feature back. Well, pretty soon consoles seem like they're going out of it.
Yeah, we won't even have consoles here soon.
Yeah. It's all in the cloud.
All in the cloud, baby.
The cloud.
See what Google comes out with in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Their
announcement. What was PlayStation 2's like online functionality? Did they have any?
Some. I know that Killzone was one of the first games. It was from a Guerrilla Games.
Okay.
It was one of the first ones I was able to play online.
It was like their Halo clone, right?
Oh, SOCOM.
SOCOM.
Yeah, word. Navy okay. SEALs. Yeah.
Did you
that
have to
was
buy
big
an extension
deal.
Pack, though, or anything?
Yeah, you had to buy a... it was like a modem that you would
that's
stick.
Right.
Yeah, there was like it was like an expansion bay in there, right?
Yeah.
And you had to pop it in there.
I think that's why I think the Xbox was so much superior. Because that's what it was.
Online play.
That online play. Mm-hmm. They really crushed that market. Like, when it was... fans, or what do they call that old school interface with the slides? I can't remember.
Oh,
Blades.
What was it? Blades.
Blades.
Yeah.
They had the Blades interface and everything. Yeah. Even though that was like archaic by today's standards, Blades was sick.
Oh, yeah. Back in the day,
you were able to navigate online through the marketplaces, your friends list, all that shit so easy.
Well, I remember when because I had the Xbox, I didn't get PlayStation 2 until well into the. I got a used PlayStation 2 Slim, like the small.
Oh no
the
way!
Smaller,
I
yeah.
Those oh yeah.
That popped it open.
So it was like way into like the lifetime of it.
Yeah.
But that's one of the reasons why I went with Xbox besides Halo was that I just liked the interface a lot better. Word. It was just cleaner to me.
Yeah. Well, the Xbox was newer. I mean, the Xbox came in like in the mid life cycle of the PlayStation 2. So
yeah, that's true.
It basically looked at everything that the PlayStation 2 didn't offer. It's like, you know what to do.
Yeah.
Which is smart. Yeah.
And then they had to jump on them too when the next gen came out though, because PS3 versus Xbox 360, it got pretty ugly for Sony in that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to agree. As someone who tried and true Sony fanboy, we definitely were hurting in the Xbox 360. The only thing great about the PlayStation was the console exclusives. So
that's true.
They
literally
crushed
it.
So, all right. So, I'll go with my worst one. And I got some backlash from Jay before the show. We're talking about this.
Because I feel like there was some unsaid stuff during that. So let's get
it out.
So again, I'll reiterate. It's not that I think it's a bad
console. Just go for it. Don't be scared.
You're going to get it. Everyone's going to get you right now.
Sega Dreamcast.
Ugh. Let's go.
Oh, my gosh. I did not know you were going to say that.
That's right. Curtis wasn't here for it.
You weren't here.
This is why.
Cheers. I'm proud of David for having this opinion. I'm proud of him.
David Webb, I thought we were
friends. Okay, hang on. Hang on, everybody. Everybody sit down. Everybody calm down for
Curtis,
a second.
Are you all right, man?
Oh, no.
Do you need a drink?
The lights are getting dim.
Stick with us. Don't go to the light,
it's
Curtis.
The big one.
Don't go to the light.
He's going to talk bad about Phantasy Star Online. Be careful.
So,
oh, gosh.
I think he's very brave.
It was.
No, it's good.
You are
brave.
It
wasn't that it was a bad console. It's just out of all the consoles I had, it was the one that I had the least amount of like memories and fun times playing it. That being said, I did have a lot of fun playing Crazy Taxi and Phantasy Star Online. The only two games I had, and at the time, I didn't realize that Phantasy Star Online was an online game. I thought that was just the name of the game. So I never played it online. I just played it. And I didn't know what an RPG, was. So I was like, this is kind of a weird weird thing. I could get the same sword, but it's better than the others. The, yeah. Okay, yeah, I guess.
I think there's a reason why the Dreamcast. There's many reasons why the Dreamcast failed.
Oh, yes.
The piracy stuff. Them not locking down the game so that you can or me can just go burn a copy of it and share it with each other. Okay, anything. That was not good.
That was not smart.
Gaming margins for the development of the software is bad anyways.
Oh, yeah.
So that was a big contributing factor. But I think the other one was it was already kind of outdated compared to the other stuff that was out there. So
it really was.
At that point, David was one of the masses. And, you know, so to the hardcores who had a bunch of time to dump into Shenmue and all these other games that require so much time, he wasn't there for that.
Oh, no. It makes sense. I mean, and not only that, but the other thing, honestly, that killed the Dreamcast was the 32X and the Sega Saturn. They did not position Sega very well to do good on the Dreamcast. And, I mean, and if you look at the way that the Dreamcast, like, was built, I've watched some videos of, like, engineers trying to, like, going in there and, like, cracking, you know, like, some of the code and taking them apart. Man, like, it they pretty much made it like a send-off console. Yeah. I think they knew that they weren't going to be in the hardware business anymore, Sega, so.
And they had so many good titles, like Shenmue, like, Jet Grind Radio.
No, dude, that was my Choo favorite Choo
Rocket.
Game. Heck yeah.
There was Code Veronica X.
Oh, and that was probably the last... That was the last Resident Evil game that I think I still didn't have any kids at that time. That was probably the last one that I could play for like days.
Yeah.
Oh man. See, now we're hitting the group of the age demographic and where you were in your life having a lot to do with what your favorite and least favorite console.
Absolutely.
Because I was a kid. I mean, I was in elementary school at that time.
Oh, and then the memory cards, you can play games.
Yeah, I was going to say, because the memory cards also had like a little screen on it that you could slide in, and then, it was.
Yeah, there was a game called Power Stone, and then they had little mini games like kind of like Galaga or Gradius or something like that. You take it out and play it.
Oh, yeah, it was so dope. And I was like, because I got it early, and I remember I went to school, and I couldn't wait. I was asking all my friends, like, did you get Dreamcast? When you get a Dreamcast, bring your memory card to school. Let's play some games. Let's trade some stuff. Let's do it.
Yeah.
No, it's true. That was short-lived because not long after that, like, it was, I remember that thing started collecting dust.
Yeah.
Yeah, just to add on what Ceramic Dragon's posting in the chat right now, we got Marvel vs. Capcom 2 was out for it. Then we had, like, Guilty Gear, Street Fighter 3, Third Strike. And then that's where the 2K games started coming in, NBA 2K, NFL 2K.
We haven't caught up with Jay Gist in a minute, have we? And I forgot when he starts getting into his FGC mode.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you hear the confidence come back to his voice when he started throwing down on that?
Love it.
What do you think about the Evo stuff in Melee?
I don't want to talk about that. You don't want to know my opinions on the Melee community.
Remember, before we started, he said, "I'm not talking about these subjects." His publicist told us ahead of time.
He said politics and Melee not being involved.
Two things off topic.
Now you've only intrigued me more. We'll have to dive into that someday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we can. I mean, if you have some time, we can do that.
If you got another hour.
Okay, so my best one.
Best.
My favorite one, I'm going to go with the N64.
Love it.
Oh, hey, good choice.
Yeah. N64, I have so many good memories with that. I brought that thing with me everywhere. I'd go to friends' houses, I'd bring it with me. I'd go to grandma's house, I'd bring it with me. Yep. Like, I always had to have at least Smash Bros.
Mm-hmm.
And GoldenEye.
Okay.
GoldenEye. Yes. Tony Hawk. That was another big one. Like, it's just like so many good games.
Yeah.
And that was the first like modern console that I got. Mm-hmm. Like before then, I was using my dad's old like Atari like 2600 or 3200, whichever one it was.
Yeah.
And then the NES.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the N64 came out, I remember that, and I skipped Super Nintendo. My friend had it, but I skipped it.
Okay.
And when the 64 came out, I remember sitting in the Taco Bell with my parents,
mm-hmm.
and like I had like a presentation of why I think we should get the N64. Like, guys, okay, so like they're made of bits, right? and this one has 64 bits, so they look real.
It's like looking in a mirror.
It's like looking in a mirror. I could go all the way around Mario. It was, yeah, in the Taco Bell, because they had N64 toys, because, like, in the Happy
marketing,
Meal
that's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Dude.
So,
how did you
yeah.
get it? How did you get the 60, was that just that good of a, it was that
speech? Presentation
worked.
The keynote,
I mean,
obviously
presentation.
Worked.
That's the reason I majored in marketing. I was at a very young age. Yeah. And okay, so we can introduce this and mm-hmm. go back around, you know, one more if we had like an honorable mention.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. I already
and
got mine.
So my honorable mention, I'm yep. going to say, is the original Xbox.
Okay.
Because okay. that, I think, would be my first forte into starting to kind of gaming on a more serious level,
right.
like actually pay attention to things and,
yeah,
and
like
care
actually
about
trying
stuff.
To get better,
actually trying to get
stuff.
Better,
yeah,
not
100%
just, you know,
things. And
yeah,
all that stuff.
Exactly. And yeah. I remember I played it at my cousin's house like long time ago, and I played Halo. I didn't know what the game was. I didn't know what the console was.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember how awesome it was.
Yeah.
And then like a year or two later, I played it at a friend's house, and I was like, "This is that game!" And I like figured it out, and like I had to go like. Convince my parents I could get, you know, again, a presentation. This time maybe I had a PowerPoint. And
dang, stepping up.
Yeah, marketing.
Star and, swipe templates and everything.
Yeah.
Nice.
Samples.
Each slide had a different transition.
Nice.
And I was like, okay, I need to get an Xbox. I need to get Halo.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when, like, shooting games were really kind of like people were warning them.
Oh, right,
warning
right.
parents
probably
about
Columbine
shooting games.
Time.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they were like, okay, like, well, tell us about Halo. And so I told them, and they're like, okay, you can get it
mm-hmm.
because you're shooting aliens, but you can't get that Call of Duty game. And so
okay.
I was, it was okay because I was,
yeah,
yeah.
Split the difference.
Split the difference.
Okay.
I was like, that's fine. I don't even know what Call of Duty is. Let's go Halo. So yeah, so that's my honorable mention. And that I would take with me. That was like, that replaced taking N64 with me everywhere because
yep.
I would go to a friend's house like every weekend
yeah.
in middle school. Go to a friend's house. There'd be like 10 of us that would bring our Xbox, and we'd run landlines
Halo.
All
yeah.
over
yeah.
the
yep.
house.
Original Xbox LAN parties
yeah.
were life right there.
It
I just smell
like,
the Taco Bell right now.
Taco Bell, Doritos.
Yeah. Smell the Taco Bell and the Mountain Dew.
Yeah,
right?
I can just smell it.
Oh,
take
man.
Me back to the day.
Right.
That's a great honorable mention. That's
Curtis,
incredible. Oh, okay.
Honorable mention
for me. Oh yeah, I had an honorable mention before you
even
conceived
the
idea.
Right,
conceived the
idea.
Is it gonna
okay.
be the Dreamcast just to make up for his stress.
Yes!
I'm not even
take
bad.
That, David
I'm
Webb. No, my honorable mention, like, if I did not own the Switch and know the joys of the Switch, and originally when you first asked, I was fighting the Switch because I wanted to say this one because from when I was a kid up until now, and this, the derivative of this console got me back into gaming.
Mm-hmm.
Like, after I had gone away, I had kids, I was like, I don't play video games anymore. I'm serious. I don't know
yeah.
why I got this idea
yeah.
in my head. Obviously, I didn't know Jay Gist at this time.
Yeah.
You would have told me otherwise. But I got this thing, and then when I got back into, like, I would watch people play, like, the newer, more modern games, and I'd literally, like, get anxiety, like, this is too much, there's too many graphics, this is too good. But the thing that got me back into it and got me back into gaming was the derivative of the Game Boy. The Game Boy is my honorable mention.
Oh,
I played
okay.
that thing from when I was young. Same thing about I
yeah.
could take it everywhere.
Yeah.
I was in the car with the little accessories where you put it over the top.
Yes.
And it was like a light.
Yep.
And like a magnifying glass,
yeah.
and speakers.
Yep.
Yeah,
like,
I remember
yeah.
playing Link's Awakening just
dude.
Like that. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god.
Mine didn't have the speakers, but I had the little light on there,
the
magnifying glass. That was that made it so.
And the grips,
dude. Yeah, yeah. You could. They had grips for it. Dang, there was one other accessory that
extended battery.
So my parents, and I thought this was the coolest thing, they bought me rechargeable batteries.
Oh,
so,
and just some energizers.
Wow. Lucky.
Yeah. Yeah, I had eight. So when one went out, I just swapped them out and put the other ones
yeah.
in the charger. It was easy. But no, the Game Boy, it changed everything. And I literally saw a video the other day that it was like a Game Boy that someone had taken like to like a war with them, and it was broken. Like that thing was busted. Like I think they said that they had like encountered some sort of explosion while they were over there.
Oh,
but
man.
It literally still turned on and played. Those things were tanks. Like when they made those, and that's the other thing I like about Nintendo. They try to make their stuff robust. But I remember they were like, "We want it to be industrial grade. We want you to be able to like chuck this thing out of a moving truck, and just to be able to at least hear the." So yeah, mine's easily the Game Boy.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Yep. Corey, what you got?
I think the honorable mention for me would have to be dang.
Mm-hmm.
Xbox 360.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 360, the best controller of all time.
Yeah,
I don't care. I'm sorry. PlayStation 1 is great and all, but you just can't beat the classic 360 controller.
That's for sure.
And then the online play, like, just kind of took it to that next level because gaming was always social for me. So, mm-hmm. I mean, like, I always had my friends come over and we'd play video games. And there's that thing. And then you start moving away from that when you're an adult. You don't want to call your friends and be like, hey, you guys want to come over and play, Call of Duty with me?
Right.
And so I got my work friends all had the consoles, and so that's just what we did. We'd bond over that. We'd jump online, hang out, and video games became very social again. And then Halo 3 and Reach and all those good games, Gears of War. I just that's when I had to give it to. I was thinking though, I like what you were talking about, David, on like how you got your console like having to persuade, and it sparked like I remember for me it had to be good grades.
Okay.
And then I had to pay for half of it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Nice.
Like, they would, like, make a deal with me of what amount of work would take to assume half. And they'd always say, okay, I could ask for whatever console I'd want.
Yeah.
And they'd say, okay, are your grades good? Okay, check. Okay, now you have to meet us halfway. We have two truckloads of firewood because we had, like, an old wood-burning stove.
Yeah.
And so that was my summer project, was I'd have to stack all that fucking wood perfectly, and then that was it. Then we'd go out to the store, bada bing,
hey,
good grades, put in the work, I got my console.
That's good though. I mean, like, I don't think a lot of parents do that these days. Like, make your kid like work for it.
My parents had to struggle. Like, there wasn't a lot of nice things that we just kind of passively had in the house. When I look back at it, I appreciate it 10 times more than I even did when I was back then. Back then you're entitled and think the world owes you everything. But then when I see like how little they had to work with, but shit, like I didn't turn out too bad. They tricked me into having good grades all the time and got a shitload of free labor.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Win-win.
Yeah. There you go.
Because it wasn't just like do the dishes. It was always like an actual project. Like
you had to sweat.
Yeah, we had to work for it.
Yeah.
Dang. That's how I got my GameCube. I remember it specifically for the GameCube because that was like when it like really kicked in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice.
Jason Gisley.
Super Nintendo. Yeah, honorable mention. Again, it's going back to, the console that most of my friends had.
Yep. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what we did, for sleepovers and stuff. We would play Street Fighter 2. We'd play Mortal Kombat 2.
Yeah.
We would play Final Fight. Any of the games.
Super Double Dragon.
Yeah. Super Mario World is probably still the best Mario out there.
Oh, my gosh. It has to be. Oh, I loved it so much.
That was good. Yeah.
It was right around that time. I remember the same thing with, like, when friends would come over.
Yeah.
Part of our, like, tradition was that I went to their house or they went to my house was a stop to the video store.
Oh, yeah.
To pick out a game that none of us had played before. Yeah. And then you just get down on a multiplayer game.
And you only have the weekend to beat it.
Yeah.
You only have one night.
Yeah. And if not, you had to rent it again the next time.
Yep.
Fighting Force was one of my favorite PlayStation original games. Me and my buddy had to rent that game like four times just to get through it all.
That's so dope.
And each time you had to start from the beginning, right?
Yeah, pretty much. But the Super Nintendo, I think the best Mario of all time for me is Super Mario World.
Yeah.
And then
I'm right there with you.
The original Mario Kart came out there too.
Oh man, I remember playing that.
Star Fox. F-Zero.
Yeah.
F-Zero.
Yeah.
Super Ghouls and Ghosts.
Yep.
I remember as a kid, my friend's older cousin, he played Mario Kart with us, and he'd be like, you guys know, he was like, what? I mean, 16, 17, and we were like half his age. Like, we were like maybe 8 or 9.
Yeah.
He's like, you guys know that this is like how you drive in here is how you're going to be driving in real life. And then, freaking us out because we're all over the road slamming into people. Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to die.
I hope kids can still have this kind of fun, you know, with the games. Yeah. It's so different now with their Fortnites. You know, they jump into a random thing and then they have to play with 40-year-olds. You know, like, it's a whole different experience gaming. To us, it was just like an hour thing. The parents didn't come in and check on us. Yeah. You know, like, you weren't had to worry about, you know, some racist kids.
Oh,
you
know,
right. That's what I was going to say. Like, I never remember, like, toxicity on any
Just friendly between your friends. Yeah. It was the only toxic.
Screen cheating.
Yeah, screen cheating. That was BM.
Oh, man.
You're my house. My controller.
My controller,
You use this one.
You use the broken one. I need this one.
That's just that was rule. That was law back then. You get the controller that the person whose house it was tells you you get.
That's right. You ain't touching my turbo controller. Back up, son.
You don't get my Pikachu edition of the N64. Like, that one's mine.
I got your guest controller right there.
Yeah, you
didn't bring yours.
Use the Mad Cats, bitch.
By the way, the A button doesn't work.
Yeah.
You're not going to be jumping this whole game.
Oh, yeah. My cat chewed on the cable, too. Yeah. So it's all like crusty.
You got to turn it sideways. Oh, no. Take it out and put it back in.
Yeah.
Hold it just like this.
Yep.
And you're fine.
And then you have the friend that always got so mad if, like, they brought their game, they would just immediately pull it out and head home.
Like, in the while the console's on, and it just goes blank. Yeah.
That's another level of BM. You just didn't do that to somebody.
Yeah. Like, see you tomorrow.
You'll be back.
I don't think that was an issue on the PlayStations, though. If I remember correctly, if it was spinning the disc and you accidentally hit the open tray, I think that bad boy kept spinning. I can't remember, though.
It was a certain sequence or, like, when a game – like, a game had to load so much. Like, cause certain games had to keep loading content on it, but some of them, like, if you were in the middle of a match, you could pop. Because that's how I got past the region lock to play, like, the first Dragon Ball game.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, you had to, like, put the spring thing in on there and then, like, let it load up a PlayStation game and, like, a regular US one, and then you hit the open button, but the spring kept that little button thing pressed down, and then I popped it out, and then that's when I popped in, like, the Japanese game. And then, like, my aunt, who owned a computer store, she was like, what do you want for your birthday? I said, I knew that it wasn't out in the US. I was like, I want the Dragon Ball Z game, auntie, but it's only out, like, in Japan or overseas or whatever. She was like, okay, well, what else do you want? And I told her something else. I was like, I'm getting that. Bro, I'd be damned if for my birthday, like a day before, a package showed up. It was this little box, and it had this thing in the back. And I was like, what the hell do you do with this? I read the instructions. Terrible English, because it was all translated. But I saw the little picture. I popped off the back of the PS1, that little swing thing. I saw a little grid there, a little port. I slid that puppy in. Put that spring on there, and I'll be damned if I was in Goku 15 minutes later. Oh, it was so amazing.
Nice. I remember just doing dumb shit. Like, I was that young, like, and I vividly remember doing shit, like, in my PlayStation, because they had the thing that pops up, and you put the CD down on and then close the tray.
Yeah.
I'd put, like, 2 CDs in there, like, trying to crush them all down and just see what happens. Like, I don't know. I'm just trying to figure shit out.
Put some baloney in there. This is what happens.
Well, there was also a game on the PlayStation called Monster Rancher where you play – you have to take the disc out and put it in a random disc, and then it would make a random monster for you.
What?
And then you have to take that disc out and put the game disc back on.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
that's so amazing.
That was fun.
My friend Jonathan had that, and I remember after school just going through all of his and his brother's, because it didn't matter what disc. It could be other, like, PC games. It just had to be a disc. And I don't know if it was RNG, but it seemed like we got the same ones all the time, and we were just trying to find that one magic disc that's going to unlock this most rare thing we'd ever seen.
Yeah. That's dope.
Do we know how that works? Like, I'm sure.
I have no idea.
No
how
clue.
That worked.
I have no clue.
That's worth researching, though, because that's pretty damn amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's advanced stuff.
Yeah. It's 2019, and we're scratching our heads.
Yeah. Do you guys remember, like, Game Genie? What was the other one?
Game Shark.
Game Shark.
The Game Shark went in the back of the PlayStation.
Yep.
And it would break your games from time to time. Like, you would have to turn it off and turn it on at a specific time.
I broke my Pokemon Blue with a Game Genie trying to get a, what was it? It was like a super special Lapras or something.
Oh, really?
I don't think that Lapras was in the game, but you could get it
through this code. Yeah, if you use the Game Genie.
And then it was like the coolest thing. I was like stomping people with this game. And then, like, after a while, like, I went to go play it, and then, like, I couldn't, like, my save file was gone. And then I had to start it. Completely over.
Yep, oh. It broke it.
And then I went to go save. Yep. And then like I turned it on like the next day. It was, where is it?
Where is it gone? Because that's what it was. That like I remember like watching a video on it saying like the different things that the game genies and stuff would manipulate.
Yeah.
And that straight up went after that save file, baby.
Yeah. Insane.
I think especially like back then, I never had a game genie or used it. I had some mm-hmm. friends who did. And yeah. it was like I remember just doing Sonic. Mm-hmm. And okay. we did it where you can like be gold Sonic. All
yeah.
the time.
Oh,
all
yeah.
the
time.
Like,
yeah.
It was one of those hack things. But
yeah.
I remember the other things that you'd have to hear about or read about in a magazine. Mm. Like in Pokemon, there was the missing no
thing. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
It was this weird glitch of a Pokemon mm-hmm. where you had to like go to the first town, walk up to this very specific part of the gate, turn around 10 right. times, fly straight to Embargo, Indigo, whatever island,
yeah.
and then walk along the edge.
Right.
Cast out your fishing line.
Yeah.
Say three Hail Marys.
Yeah.
And then, like, you'd get this occurrence of a Pokemon.
And it's literally like a glitch, right? Like, yeah. wasn't that like it's a square row with, like, chains in this?
Were pixelated.
Yeah.
It was fucking crazy. That those were the days of, like, cheat codes. I didn't do the little add-ons, extensions. But yeah. there's also some really good gaming historians about all the that
oh,
stuff.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
He has so many good videos.
If you guys haven't heard, watched that guy's YouTube yet, go to Gaming Historian on YouTube because it's incredible knowledge for just that era of video games.
Yep.
Lots of nostalgia. Well, you guys are hearing the wrap-up music. That means we do not have time for our game or Matt Damon. So we'll
damn
have
it. I'll have to tell him to wait. Matt. Matt, he ran out of time.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Come back next week.
Yeah. Meet you next time. Thank you guys so much for watching. If you were watching us on Twitch, twitch.tv/videogame_bang. If you are not watching us, make sure to check us out. You guys are probably hearing the podcast version right now, but we also do the show live. You can come check it out. You can see our facial reactions. You can hang out and chat. And then after the show, we do a after party show.
Yep.
And then if you are watching us, but you've never actually listened to the podcast, go check us out on any place you could get podcasts. Spotify, iTunes.
There you go.
Audio Boom.
Hey, he's got him. That's the trifecta.
That's Stitcher. Boom. Four.
Yeah, Stitcher, you're on a roll.
That's where I'm going to stop. Go check us out. Subscribe. Give us that 5-star rating. Even if you don't like it, just give us that 5-star rating because it's free. What's it going to cost you?
If they listen to this much of the show and ended up hating it, thank you.
Like, yeah.
You gave us a good shot.
I appreciate you. I don't like you, but I respect you.
Exactly.
Jay, what do you have to promote? What do you got going on?
A lot.
You have a lot to promote. All right, let's do it.
So March 16th, I have my next tournament downtown SAC off of K Street, right above Oblivion.
Comics and Coffee. Okay. We know that place.
Yeah.
It's a good place.
So we're bringing back Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 this time.
Ooh,
people are asking about it, so we're going to do that and Dragon Ball, and then we'll have Tekken and Street Fighter and also BlazBlue. Cross tag battle. But also, I'm going to debut me making barbecue for the tournament.
That's the reason to go, guys. Because one time he brought me over like a day old brisket, like mm-hmm. refrigerated in foil, as we were hanging out. Second day, warmed up, I used a microwave. Fucking incredible. God. I didn't need to use any, I'm a barbecue sauce fiend.
Okay.
I would not disgrace this piece of meat with any barbecue sauce. Not even my sweet baby Ray's.
So good.
Okay.
I'm really excited to do it. I'm making brisket. I'm making homemade mac and cheese. Baked beans.
This dude could cook, boy.
Yeah.
I'm really excited.
I follow him on Instagram. Every time I see his Instagram post, I'm just getting so hungry.
Cheesecake God.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. Yes. And cheesecake is my favorite dessert.
So if you come out to the tournament, and it's also for charity for the UC Davis Children's Hospital.
Nice.
So it's $10 for a plate, but I'm doing pre-orders just so I don't waste food.
Of course.
If you go to CFD Gaming or CFD_J on Twitter, then you can find a link to the tournament and to sign up. California State Fair.
I heard about this.
An esports center.
Hey, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
crazy. They gave me a huge room. We're building a stage. We're getting PCs. We're getting consoles. We're going to do tournaments. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on, and you should start seeing more news pop up about that.
That's so cool.
That's awesome, dude. That's a big gig, too. Yeah. That's a long thing. I cannot wait to see how that ends up turning out. And they couldn't have chose a better, more authentic representation of what Sacramento's grassroots gaming efforts is than Jay Gist.
Like, absolutely.
100%. There's no one putting in this work.
Big question about the March 16th tournament. Will Melee be there?
Melee.
Not there, okay.
One word. Finally. Shout out to All Salem. Right.
Salem, man.
Oh, man. Kurt, what you got going on?
Bruh. Honestly, just stream, just the stream. I've been getting back on it little by little. Okay. And now that I'm feeling better, like I said, it'll continue to increase. But Sunday, Monday, Tuesday night, you might see a little notification. So just keep an eye open.
All right.
Ask me about my Kings right now. I'm salty.
I wasn't gonna. Thank you. I apologize.
I follow them on Twitter. I know when to bring them up and when not to bring them up.
David Webb, you are a man after my own heart. Thank you.
Dang. Oh, man. Corey. You got anything going on?
This show, Video Game Bang. Follow us on Twitter at Video Game Bang. I might dust off the old streaming shoes while I post-produce this thing. Maybe we'll learn a little bit. So I was doing educational streams for a minute where I'd post-produce, do a little basic mixing, exporting, showing the upload process, and just answering questions to people who want to learn how to maybe do some podcasts. So I'll probably get back on that.
Nice.
It was a lot of fun to do, and there's Adobe Audition 2019 to learn and potentially break, so should be there for that.
Save lots of time so we don't lose the file.
Yep.
Duplicate.
Yeah.
Edit that one.
Oh, man. And, I got some new lights
on
my setup.
And now you got some stands?
And I got some stands?
Okay.
Read the fine print, people. Yeah. Make sure you know exactly what you're buying. And if it says one left, don't buy it. Just find it someplace else. So I will be bringing my stream back probably Monday, if not tomorrow, Sunday. But if you're listening to the show, it'd be tonight.
What games?
So I'm going to play a little bit more Anthem tonight.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So maybe Anthem. But more than likely, probably Apex.
Apex console, cool. Apex PC.
Ooh, that's gonna be a tough question.
Please play PC.
We're gonna see what's gonna feel like. I'm definitely better on console than I am on PC, but I might just play PC because it's easier to stream on.
That's
PC.
Great. Now, what I need for you to do is do a little bit more research on that, and then next time we have Emma here and the console versus PC comes up, you need to be trained on what to say.
Mm. I'm not gonna get into that right now.
Answer just. Answer's PC. It's just PC.
I feel like Emma would fight dirty.
Yeah.
She's scrappy.
She fights to win, man.
All right, everybody. So that's our show. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you guys for watching. For Corey Vincent, Curtis, Jay Gist, I'm the real David Webb saying, see you guys next time.